Commission remarks. Accounts payable.
Mike, that one check was, I believe, for police vehicles.
Okay.
To do the logo or whatever on there. Move to approve checks numbers 347358 through 427426. Warrants 6448 through 6450 and 6454 through 6456. There's no journal entries or transfers.
I'll second the motion. Brandon, I missed a comment about a check you said.
I think Mike had a question on one of the checks.
Oh, okay.
From Native Signs for the Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
And I'm assuming it is the, for the vehicles, the
right.
The lettering on the vehicles for those.
Was it the dollar amount or was it?
I think
it was the size is what I was. It was 3 foot by 8 foot, and I just thought that was, isn't that what it said? 3 foot by 8 foot. I didn't know what it was. Thought that was pretty large.
It just says layout 3 foot by 8 foot.
Yeah, they probably measure that by what they have to use actually get on their mark.
Right. Okay. All right.
Is it that piece on the back?
It's probably
God
little,
we trust, it says on the back.
No. It's, I think they pay for that themselves. That's the actual Sheriff's Department logo on sides. It's $120. So I don't know that it's, I mean, Jimmy's not here, but.
That's fine. I just couldn't hear what you said about a check, so.
Did we have a second on that?
Yes.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous minutes for February 22nd and February 29th.
Motion for approval of regular session minutes February 22nd and 29th.
Danny, you said regular session minutes.
Yes, that's what they were, weren't they? I didn't see executive wrote on them.
We're not agendized for regular. We're just agendized for executive. So we can't vote on those today.
What you got, because I don't read it on mine.
I don't either.
I don't have the current one. Sorry, guys.
All right. And now, I don't have that.
No wonder I was wondering why you guys were all.
I don't have one now. I gave it to you.
Donna, is this yours?
No. What? Agenda?
No. Is it yours?
That's mine.
Can I have it?
Yes.
Thank you. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Elected officials' pay schedule. Mrs. Blue, come on up.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've had some ask about changing the elected officials' payout time to the second pay period instead of the last. And so I would just need your approval.
I didn't ask for it. I don't know who all has.
I don't know. It's there's been a few. So
I guess
what happens is a lot of times, it seems like the third pay period, only time we have three pay periods, it's in July and December. And so it just hits y'all getting a paycheck usually at the very last of each month. And, you know, if we did change it, it would help me out because right now I have a current employment statistics survey that I do, and it's due the 12th usually of each month. but they allow me to go ahead and do it towards the end because it needs to include you all in it. So putting it in the second pay period would help if we wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, there's a state statute that we can only get paid once a month,
correct?
Right? And then it doesn't make me a bit of difference if you guys want to move it. I mean, it's
most pay periods are the second pay period. So
I'm fine with it. I mean, do we need it on a
vote
or?
Yeah, I just need to make a motion.
Just to give you guys information, nothing else. We did this before. There are some other counties that do pay more than once a month, even though the statutes do read that elected officials are paid once a month. The dilemma with paying earlier in the month from a auditor standpoint is that we may actually be paying people before they do the work, and if something were to happen, if they left employment for any particular reason, we would be caught with trying to catch up with that. I mean, it's not likely to happen, and it's not likely to be a large sum of money, but that's something we consider.
Well, the only ones that, this is mostly what I pay in monthly is elected officials, so... There is a couple that I do pay, Chris Burnt and another employee that we pay along with the monthlies, but that is all.
We have had in the past elected officials that have been unable to complete the month and have had to leave the number. I don't know how the pay was handled.
Like I said, personally, I don't really have any preference one way or the other if there's problems with it. Now, what you're saying, Don, is on contracted labor or individuals that get paid. You give an example of one, and I know of another that if we paid, then there would be, I guess, there would be some problem with that unless we paid those officials through accounts payable. I mean, those particular individuals through accounts payable.
Well, we really couldn't. If they're an employee, we can't pay them through accounts payable. So
we can't. I think state statute that reads we can't pay somebody before they've fulfilled the work that they've done. We can't prepay anybody.
Well, what we could do is put them to biweekly, and you know, anyone other than elected officials, put them to biweekly to where when they turn in a timesheet, we pay them. And then the monthlies would be total elected officials. We could do that. Then, you know.
I don't have any problem with it. I just don't have any preference one way or the other. And if it's... So do you think you have a solution to that by paying those biweekly?
Right. And it's only going to be, like I said, there's only 2 months in the year that we deal with this, other than the years that we have, the 27 pay periods will be three. But most of the time, it's just 2 months. And it's usually right at whenever Christmas is here and holidays and people just, want their money. So
even now, we're not getting paid on the last day of the month.
That's what
right.
I was saying.
We never do. Usually it's the second pay period of each month, so usually you're paying them.
You're still getting paid 7 days.
That's right.
More than what you've already, or six days or whatever it is.
Could I say that? I think there's already been too much discussion on this little issue, and if you need it for the second period of time, I'm fine with it. And if we need it by
vote, make a motion, something just telling me.
Second pay period?
Chuck,
yes, second pay period.
Say something
there. All right, come on up.
Of course, just because we've done it that way for a long time doesn't make that good, but I do question why we're making a change. Second thought I've had is and not on necessarily just this issue, but I would request or challenge the county commission. When you got an issue like this that affects elected officials, I happen to catch it on the agenda. Of course, I think all of us get the agenda probably, but it might be kind to send out to elected officials, hey, we're going to talk about this today, in case you haven't, because we're all busy. And things slip by us if it's just on the agenda, but if you had you a list of elected officials when something of this comes up, that you could tap them with an email that if they're interested, they more might be more people here to talk about this issue. Thank you.
So, Don, how many elected officials came to you wanting this?
I had one come to me that others had come to, and that's where we're at. I do know last time that we changed in December of last year, there were several that had come and voiced their opinion they would like to have been paid so early. So, and we did it. And I thought, well, since that occurred and since this was brought to my attention from a real credible person, then I thought, you know, that we ought to just go ahead and move it because we made that in December of last year. So,
but again, you said it helps you in your office.
Yeah, it does. I've got a report that I need to get in. And if we did it the second, even doing it the second, if I had it personally, I'd pay everybody the first of the month. But that's not me. That's me just because of that report. But the second would be great.
Move to pay monthly compensated employees to the second pay period of each month.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All against? I'm going to vote against it.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Board appointments, Board of Adjustments. Mr. Pingleton expired at the end of 2015, and he's not going to be available to continue to serve a four-year term.
Do you have other applications?
We have received an application.
Let me make a statement before you put the name down, because I don't know who it is, but this is a very important position to be filled. This is usually the next step is a court case. If this particular individual or this board makes a decision that is not satisfactory to the public person that wants a change or anything. So if we need to put this out in the news media that we needed applicants for this, I would rather wait and do that other than take one applicant and make a judgment off of it. This may be the person that we pick, but I think that probably this is such an important position to fill that we need to have the news media make a note. I know they've done a great job in the past, but usually we had 10 positions for them to look at as far as filling it. And I'd rather wait, if you don't care, and let them do their thing this next week or something, and maybe put it on the agenda for next week.
That's fine with me.
Is that the one?
I haven't even looked at that, so I don't even want to look at it right now until we do that. I just think that we need to fill that position with someone that we can all agree on. That's is there some and I think I've read, is there some qualifications that they have to have for that position? I know it doesn't have to be district-wise. It doesn't have to be township-wise. Is there some
kind of the BOE as far as requirements or some recommended? That I don't know.
And those are strictly recommended most of the time. So.
So are you asking the media to?
Yes, if they would, to run that for us this week and
looking for Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment applicants.
Next on the agenda is bid recommendations for mini excavators.
Good morning, gentlemen. As Mr. Hayes passes out spreadsheets and tabulation information, I'll go ahead and set the stage that this is for bid number 201601-324, 201601-324 for mini hydraulic excavators, two of them. This is a bid that was requested to me by Mr. Hayes, Road and Bridge. We released this on January the 23rd. It closed on February the 24th. During the time frame of that bid opening, we received responses from six different companies. And Mr. Hayes and I opened those responses in here on the 24th. He took possession of those and has used the time in between for a very extensive and thorough review of all those responses. I think part of his review process, which he can talk about here in a second, involved contacting some of those vendors for clarifications. I think one of the companies was visited and there was demonstrations made. It's an expensive piece of equipment that was approved by you all for us to go out for bid on in January. So at this point, I think you have the information in front of you, and I think Mr. Hayes is prepared to discuss his recommendation and the details associated therein. Here's the mic.
We've reviewed all of these bids, and all of these bids will include three-year warranties, 3,000-hour, 36-month warranties. We've also, in the past, in 2015, we've several companies brought machines down. We demoed. I know we demoed the Caterpillar machine. We demoed the John Deere machine and also a Case machine. But after looking at these bids and reviewing the lowest legitimate bid that I've seen, basically, with the exception
of five responses,
or the five responses, we looked at this Kubota machine. We'd never had experienced one, so I sent people down there to actually look at and operate this one. And it was very competitive, very good machine. Also reviewing the exceptions I had on there because these were specifications derived off a Caterpillar machine. Everybody had to bid equivalent to that, basically, so there are going to be some exceptions. But after reviewing all that, I'm going to make a recommendation we go with the Kubota machine of Northwest Arkansas for a purchase of two machines for a cost of $103,501.91 each.
Do you have your bid sheet for bid specs?
Bid specs, yeah.
Or at least... These are different than this?
These would be the exceptions to the bid specs. If they, and a lot of these were minor exceptions. It may be the name of it, like the engine would be a Kubota rather than a Cat, but it met the specs as far as size, cubic inch, that thing. A lot of the other exceptions would be maybe the turn radius speed or minor things like that. That's the reason I sent people down to actually run this particular machine and use it to get their feedback from it.
I'm looking through. I've got this set on the back here, looking through to see what it says on these.
Is there a warranty on the Kubota?
Yes.
And there's no cost for a warranty?
It was included in his bid price. And that's another thing I had to double check on that. Some of them put included on there, but the wording of the bid specs, if they didn't have the warranty in there included unless otherwise specified. So other items we looked at was location of being able to service this machine or parts availability and comparable to other vendors.
What about the ability to work on it ourselves?
Do what?
What about the ability to work on it ourselves?
We should be able to do that as far as normal wear items and whatnot, but like warranty stuff, we would normally
after the warranty. After the warranty.
I don't see a problem there. I mean, it wouldn't be much different.
And
others. I mean, there's a lot of the equipment anymore. You would have to plug in and diagnose with a laptop. Most of it's getting to that point.
Let's say how many year warranty it is.
Three on all of them. I thought you said
3 year, 36.
On all of them.
3,000 hour, 3 year.
Okay.
Base warranty. So.
The other ones, say full machine, powertrain, hydraulics. It just says 3 years. Does that cover the hydraulics and powertrain and other issues, or just?
No, it's supposed to be everything on it for the 3 year.
All the engine size, horsepowers, and all that's equivalent, the same?
Yeah. That's
used the CAT.
I used the CAT specifications.
Specifications, and they had to meet that for you to put it out for bid.
That's
is that right, Ron?
A lot of these other machines, you'll see the exceptions in there. Some of them I wouldn't really consider qualifying because if they couldn't meet the specification on engine size, power wise, then also had any experience of demo these other machines. Power-wise or other issues, hydraulics were maybe a little weaker. That's the reason for going down and looking at this machine before we ever considered it.
I understand all that, and I would lean probably towards your recommendation. My problem that I'm having is that those other machines that were down for the snow rodeo that we demoed down there, and we seen the material right on the ground. We seen the equipment. We seen how it operated. Got to demo it. I was pretty impressed by one or two of these others that you've got on here. Don't know whether I already even comment on this, but I've had personal experiences with the Kubota that was bad.
Well, I'm basically looking at this the best machine for the best price, and there are very good machines here, and
do you have to award? I don't think we have to. Do you have to award one or two? Could we take one, award one, and award
one? The only problem with that is that's not fair to the vendors. Whenever they're assuming there's two purchased, so they might have made a better price.
That's true.
Two
but I'm
as
just,
opposed to one.
I know we've done that in the past.
I think that was on, we'd have. I think that was on, I don't know, 9 or 10 truck purchase or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, do you have a problem with any of the other machines, Dan or Randy?
The other competitive machines. I guess my next choice for this would be the Caterpillar machine above the others, but it was hard to, the cost difference was
$6,000 on
$109,000. Two machines, there's $12,000 there that, I mean, it was.
I guess that's what I was asking earlier. Everything else we have is a lot of the John Deere, Caterpillar. So a lot of those same parts, filters, those types of things, will they cross-reference at all? Or?
That's the other thing is, I don't know how many of these filters and stuff on a Caterpillar machine would be the same as some of our other CAT equipment. So a lot of it would be different depending on the size of the engine.
But we know a Kubota would be all different, right?
A Kubota would be all different. It would be the only Kubota equipment except for maybe an engine and a power broom would be the only other Kubota engine we would have. The other thing we do have, as far as preparing after the warranty's out, we do have a CAT program. It's something we purchase every year to be able to diagnose on Caterpillar equipment. It's the only one we have. The others were not. They were very expensive, and we haven't obtained them yet. But
so if we did that on Kubota, what would that cost us?
We'd have to have them diagnose it. So.
But what does it cost for the program?
On the Kubota?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't drive that cost yet.
I'm just thinking over the course of the years of the machine, the $6,000 probably isn't. On a $110,000 machine. And that's why I was asking about the familiarity of our mechanics with Caterpillar versus Kubota.
You took all that into consideration, didn't you, Randy?
Well, the main thing I took into consideration is location. Where would we have to take this? And it would be comparable to having to take it to Springfield or taking it to Harrison, Arkansas. They do have a shop. So distance-wise, there's not much distance or difference there. But that's a user call a service truck to have them come diagnose it or take it to them and have them diagnose it. We've had to do the same thing with other equipment. For instance, we had a little dozer had a problem. We had to take it down there and have them diagnose it to drive what the problem was. And it's either us take it down there or pay them a service call to come up and diagnose it. So
I think what Brandon's asking, though, is that we have the Caterpillar diagnosed program now.
Right.
What would be the cost to have the others? Because I know this runs into everything that you buy new has to be diagnosed with the computers and all that stuff. And if we have programs for that, the added cost of that program is what you're referring
right.
to, Brandon.
I think the Caterpillar program, I forget what we pay every year for it, but it's a cost every year to keep that updated. And I know the John Deere program was going to be more expensive than the Caterpillar. I think now the even the Cummings program is now becoming available where it wasn't in the past. I'm not sure about the Kubota program, whether that's something we can obtain.
Here's what, and you're fully aware of that, you just got through mentioning it.
Right.
We sent a piece of equipment all the way to Harrison to have it diagnosed.
Right.
And whenever they got it down there, they couldn't do it, so we had to bring it back up, and our mechanics found the problem after it was brought back up here, after we'd sent it down there. And it wasn't, and that's my concern, that if we don't have the other programs, and we paid to send it down there.
It cost us,
and then our mechanics.
And they couldn't fix it.
So anyway, I'm just...
Move to award bid number 201601-324 to Fabic Cat for two machines.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next item is bid recommendation for a double drum roller. Same scenario. Mr. Hayes had brought this request to me for the bid after being approved by you all in January. This is bid number 201601325. It was released on January the 23rd, closed on February the 24th. We open responses here from five different vendors. Again, Mr. Hayes took possession of those responses for complete and thorough review, which he is passing out spreadsheet copies of the bid tabulation responses and information to you all. And I'll turn it over to him now to discuss and make his recommendation with details.
We also reviewed this bid very closely, and the specifications used in this was also from a Caterpillar machine. and most of these rollers are very comparable. But after reviewing it all, I'm making a recommendation that we go with the machine from Murphy Tractor and Equipment for the cost of $34,500. And this is for one double drum roller.
And that was a low bid, right?
That was the second lowest bidder.
Oh, well. Potterhead.
Yeah, well,
Potter was a low bidder.
Potter, we had a huge amount of exceptions in there that it wasn't. It was the only one that really didn't had too comply. Many exceptions to overcome.
Even I noticed that.
Motion for approval of Murphy Tractor Equipment Company for the double drum roller.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I will notify the vendors in both instances of those award results. The next bid recommendation we have, we're changing gears here slightly. On the next three, I'm actually making these recommendations entirely at the request of Sheriff Russell, who is at the annual Sheriff's Convention today. And I think he told me he was a speaker there. He could not miss that meeting.
Thank you, Randy.
So I'm going to go ahead and explain what these three bids are for, and I have a less sophisticated tabulation sheet that actually has all three of these vehicles listed, so this is a real kind of a worksheet document. These are vehicle purchases that they're one each, approved by you all through him, and he brought these requests to me. In late January, the first one I'll talk about is bid number 201601-326 for a Ford F-150 SSV 4x4. It was released on January the 30th, and the bids that we received were closed on March 2nd. We opened on March 2nd. And received responses from three different vendors. This particular bid, and I take a great amount of enjoyment by sending out bid invitations to many car dealerships because we usually get some very interesting responses. This particular bid went out to eight different Ford dealerships. But we only received these three responses. First one from Tri-Lakes Motors for $32,878. Second one was from Don Vance Ford in Marshfield for $32,910. And Republic Ford for $33,071. Sheriff Russell has requested that I, sitting in for him, make a recommendation to award to Tri-Lakes Motors for $32,878, close call between them and Don Vance Ford. He did take time to double check with all the dealerships who were participating to make sure that the warranty information was correct and everything was included by the bid specs. And that's his recommendation on bid number 201601-326 for a Ford F-150.
Did you say these are single, one of each?
It's one vehicle, right.
One Ford F-150, one, I know it's separate bids.
One each, but one each. We did put a disclaimer in the bid specs that if during the course of 2016, if the sheriff had an additional need that was approved, that this price would remain in effect throughout 2016.
You know what the state bid is on? Do they even have one for the F-150?
He has compared all of his responses to the state bid based on the conversation I had with him on Friday.
Move to award bid number 201601-326 to Tri-Lakes Motors for one Ford F-150.
Second. For the amount, it's $32,878? Yeah.
Just have a quick question for me. On the state bid, did it come in under that, or?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next one is bid number 201601-327. Requested on the same date, released on the same date, opened on the same date, and that is for a Ford Police Interceptor. Utility all-wheel drive vehicle was also sent to 8 different Ford dealerships, and the responses we received were from the same 3, Tri-Lakes Motors in Branson, Don Vance Ford in Marshfield, and Republic Ford. In this instance, the sheriff has asked me to recommend for award the low bidder of Don Vance Ford at $30,968. The next closest was Tri-Lake Motors at $33,373, and Republic Ford was high at $34,181.
Motion to approve Don Vance Ford at Marshfield. Is that what you said?
Yes.
For the Interceptor, Ford Police Interceptor.
Utility all-wheel drive.
No.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. And the last one we have is bid number 201601-328 for a Dodge Charger Pursuit. This one, it was also requested on the same date, released on the same date. I sent direct bid invitations to 6 different dealerships, and we've received only 2 responses on this one. One of the dealerships told me, they did contact me and to inform me they didn't get a response back from the manufacturer in time to meet the deadline, or we would have had at least 3 like we did in the other 2. In this instance, Landmark Dodge in Independence, Missouri, submitted a bid for $24,190. Tri-Lakes Motors, $28,391. However, upon close inspection and review of the response and contacting Landmark Dodge, the sheriff informed me that they did not include the required warranty information that we had as mandatory in the bid specs, where I like to use the word must or will versus may or shall. They didn't include that. They admitted that, and they apologized. So they were technically, we would probably have to disqualify them from participation. The sheriff is hereby recommending awarding to Tri-Lakes Motors for the Dodge Charger at $28,391.
Motion to approve Tri-Lakes Ford for the Dodge Charger Pursuit.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion
Thank
carries.
You, gentlemen. I will retire to inform the sheriff via text so he can get those orders placed to save us those funds and acting in the best interest of Taney County. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Road and bridge update.
You can have mine, Randy, because I'm going to keep the ones that I've got.
Okay.
That way you don't have to have them.
Okay. Do you want it now? Or?
I think I can follow.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted it.
If you don't mind.
All of our roads that were closed due to Bull Shoals Lake and Tabor, Alcohol, Amber, are now, all of them are open, and hopefully we can keep them open.
Is that guaranteed till the end of the week?
Well, I'm not guaranteeing anything. They pretty much got most of them opened up and cleaned up, and so we're in pretty good shape right now. We would like to schedule our spring cleanup for the 8th and 9th of April. Gentlemen, want to see the flyers? Basically,
no, that's a good deal.
Now, when is the cities do theirs?
They were waiting to see when we schedule ours to kind of coincide. I think City Hollister for sure was questioning. So we hadn't. I need to get it set. So that gives us time to get our roll offs and advertising out. So.
Because I know in years past it's always been off weeks, and then we can never.
They kind of want to do it at the same time. So.
That's what we've asked for in the past. So. Okay.
All right.
Good.
That's a good deal. I think Jan was out there, but April the 8th and 9th will be the spring cleanup, if approved by the county commission, and we don't need that in a motion, do we?
Yes, I don't know. It's up to you.
That's fine.
You've got the power, Randy.
All right. April 4th, we'd like to go to our 410 summer schedule.
What time do they start when they do that?
6:30.
Can you make sure we don't see anybody in the McDonald's drive through after 6:30 then?
Okay.
Just make a point of that, and I don't care what they do, as long as they're working.
I've been approached by some of the fellows. They'd sure like to have it start at daylight savings time. When is that?
Well, that's probably within another week.
March 13th.
And one of the issues is not quite daylight yet at start time. If you move forward, that makes it 5:30 and current time right now, and it's sun isn't up yet, and trying to set work zones up. Well, this is about the same time we've done in the last 2-3 years is when about this time frame changed schedule around the 1st of April, first week in April. I mean, it's up to you if you want to go sooner, but
I don't. There's too much not getting. When it's dark, they don't get out. You can tell them I said that if you want to.
Okay.
Or they go to the McDonald's parking lot and wait for it to get light, I guess.
Wait for the sun to come up.
It's kind of hard to miss two big old yellow trucks.
We kind of stick out. Give you copies of this next two.
I've heard they're at Scooters quite a bit too. Danny, is that right?
I don't know. I'm not there.
Oh, it's my... Donna, you want to save that for the record?
These two topos I give you, working with Travis with HDR and looking at both of these to kind of get a little more information. Both of these roads, Church Camp and Castle Rock, both flood during extended periods of rain. And so we were wanting to look to get a quantity and how much fill would take to bring them out of floodplain. And what impact would that have with surrounding properties? And on both of these, very comparable, one just a little more fill than the other. But basically, it'll make about a 2-inch rise in the water with the amount of fills, what Travis calculates on both of these. And he's got distances down at both the 2-foot high fill and a 4-foot high fill. And the 4-foot would take them both, would get the road where they wouldn't flood. The 2-foot wouldn't necessarily, it would still end up with some water in the road. Both of them will require additional right-of-way to be able to do this. And one of them for sure will have to have utilities changed. That's the Castle Rock one. We have an electrical box that would be in the way of being able to do that. So. But that's where we're at this point with it, so I wanted to bring it back to you to...
Randy, is there on the... I know that there's not on the Church Camp Road, but on the other one, is there an access that might be available other than traveling that road?
That I don't know. I don't know if there's another access doable or...
It's a long stretch. This is a long stretch of fill on not on the church camp, but on the Castle Rock. It's, have you got an estimate on how the length?
Yeah, I think it should be on the topo there, an estimated quantity of fill on
4-foot rise, but it's, I don't have my glasses, so I can't see. 207
cubic yards on a 2-foot rise.
Huh?
On a 2-foot rise, 207 cubic yards. 4-foot rise is 788 cubic yards.
Yeah, I think it's just slightly less material than the church camp one, if I'm not mistaken. Both very fairly close, I mean, as far as yardage of what it would take.
Is Castle Rock, Rock the one that we were concerned about if we filled it up, if the water would then go into some of the...
That's the one that come into concern, and that's what one of the reasons I had him look at it. If we put fill in, what would it do to the water level, and how far would it spread out? And it'd be minimal.
Okay.
And on both of them, it wouldn't. You wouldn't even notice the change hardly. About 2-inch difference.
I drove the road. It looks like the nearest properties are quite a ways away from it. But I didn't know.
Right. Well, we were looking at what driveways, what other besides just dwellings or buildings we wanted to know. And
where are we going to get that much material?
Well, that's the other thing, is we do have some available, but then some of it will have to be purchased. So we do have excess fill we can use, but then the top layers would have to be aggregate to keep a road bed, basically.
Right.
Aggregate.
We do these projects before, and we don't have to do it just because we've done it in the past this way, but we usually had enough material that we could start and fill. The Slough Holler project is a prime example. There's where we can use fill that we already have, then it doesn't cost us to go to the quarries and use material that is used for the fill part of it, not the construction of the road.
I think pretty much what we have, the bulk of it, I think we would have quite a bit already there at Hilda on the back lot that we could use for these, but we would have to purchase some aggregate for the top 6-8-inch layer.
If we got
and this would have to be scheduled. One of them's going to have to be fall. I mean, we got too much other. The other we might be able to work in. If I was going to do one before the other, I would do the church camp first and then schedule the other one at a later time.
Well, I'd say that would depend upon whether we run into any problems with property.
Well, that's the other thing. I'd need to survey and acquire additional right-of-way.
And sometimes you have a right-of-way argument that takes time. Whichever one comes first as far as being able to get that approved, that's the way we want to go. We don't have a specific need for one before the other. They both need it, but if it's any right-of-way problems, we'll go ahead and do the other one.
Okay.
So Randy, you're going to go ahead and move on just checking the right-of-ways?
I would need to have it surveyed on both these and descriptions wrote up to obtain right-of-way. So it would be some survey costs.
Also, I was told that as far as moving the utility there on that Castle Rock, I think a guy to talk to would be that Rob Dalton about that. Okay.
I'm good to go ahead and move forward, or just...
I'd do a little more digging, see what...
Now, the survey, I'd say we need that, though, so we can make a judgment. Go ahead and do the surveys and stuff.
Okay. Find out what
see if we're going to run into any problems with land acquisition.
Right. Our fuel bids and aggregate and asphalt will be going out in April, so that'd be some bids coming up here in another... month or so. And also, tentatively scheduled March 21st, so we've got 26 road petitions to review with you guys. So I'm going to kind of put them on a spreadsheet like we did last year, take all the ones that we denied off and keep all the current ones and group them.
Do you have cost estimates on each one, and do you have a figure that we're going to look at to try to fulfill dollar-wise length of miles and all the roads that we might be able to take in that were turned down last time?
We have several that were just tabled. They weren't denied. The only ones we took off that list was the denied ones or ones we have new ones that have been petitioned, a couple of subdivisions. And then the current ones that we tabled, we took in a couple, but we still have the others that we hadn't really denied within that subdivision. So them will be, and they still have a cost estimate associated with them. All of them will have. And then I'll basically just kind of bring a figure of what we think we can do.
Do you have, what I'm saying is, do you have a rough figure now of how much we're going to be able to take in dollar-wise?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
But I'll bring that. Okay. That's all I have currently, unless you gentlemen have some questions.
Who did, Thelma Doyle Road, mm-hmm. that goes down to the Branson Sewer or lift station, who built that road?
I have no idea.
Was it the county?
I really don't.
You don't know? Is that something you can look at to see if there's... Because there's ownership and there's some houses and there's some different... Is there a mobile home park back there also? Or? Mm-hmm.
They petitioned that road to the county before to try to get them to take it in and it got denied. Problem with being right away and turnaround and other issues, I believe. But as far as to know how that road come into existence, I have no idea.
It's not one of the old cart roads. It's not,
it's not a cart road.
That's what I mean. It's not one of the old, I think it's just access to the Branson lift station.
Well, they created that there, and part of that work, if was ever done, would have been during that time frame when they were doing the lift station and construction and having fixed the road back. But then I don't know who's obligated to maintain it. We're not. I mean, it's public or... That'd be a public road for them to have a lift station, or they'd have to have some type of easement to it.
I don't know. Because I know that people are willing to fix it themselves, but then City of Branson's going to, which they have to drive their trucks down there, and it's going to tear the road up again.
Right.
So you're kind of in a, and is that lift station, I guess, in city property, but the road to it isn't, or is the lift station even a city property?
Probably. I know the city's got quite a bit of the property surrounding. It's just little parcels here and there that's scattered that's still in the county. most of the south side of the road's all in the city now, and parts of it on the north, and then but it gets scattered. We just have little pieces here and there.
Over the years, Brandon, we've had a question with the city of Branson, mainly on Fall Creek, on other roads, that we own part of the road and they own part of the road, and then we own part of the road. And there's been an effort made and an agreement at one time, verbal agreement, nothing wrote, that the city of Branson, if there was certain things done, that they would take over the road or turn over what they had that wasn't theirs. It's caused a big problem with 911 as far as accidents and things like that, and the call in where it goes if it lays within the city limits or if it's county. I'd like for you to check on that again and see if we can get something done about that on different. And I don't know.
Got,
I think there's
Shepherd Hill Expressway, Bird Road,
three or four roads that are really the main. But I'm sure there's other little things. And as we bring up this, mm-hmm. it's something that probably they need to take care of if they're the ones that's, you know, doing the wear and tear on the road and busting it up. So if you don't care to, I'm not trying to assign you anything, but I'd just like
to. I'm used to it, Danny. It's okay.
Yeah. The abuse.
Well, I got people from your side calling me all the time, too. So.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, if you don't care to do that, we'll bring that. Because it was a verbal agreement at one time that they,
was
the
it
city
with,
of Branson,
was
would
it with
do
David,
that.
Or who was it with?
Yeah, it was with David. Uh-huh. See if we can get some paperwork over here and get something signed off on.
That would be nice if they would take over Bird and Fall Creek and Expressway. Then we could take in more, see.
Well, wasn't the issue we were needing to, like on Fall Creek, the deal changed. Did it not change to where now they wanted us to do everything and then give it to them?
At one time, it was to lay the asphalt and then they would take it over.
Right.
It was to do all the road. See, that's where we run into a problem, really, is when we're trying to maintain our part of it and you come to their city limits and then the questions. So if we can get something already and the verbal agreement was that they would do it. So I just want you to check in on see if there's any paperwork they want to submit to us that would go that route.
Does that fall under Stottle?
He maintains Fall Creek and all those.
I'm just saying it might be something that you and Stottle and I and just go sit
go
and see
sit down with them.
Yeah. If you want to coordinate that.
Animal Safari was the other one I was
That's
trying
right.
to think
the
of. They pretty much have all the properties in the city limits and we still maintain the road.
Right.
That was the other one I couldn't think of. So.
Okay. Citizens appreciate the fact we maintain the roads.
I know.
That's all I have.
That's all I got.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
FEMA update.
Tuesday, we met with, as we discussed at the last meeting, the planning department staff had an informational meeting with all of the property owners that were initially found to be 40% or more damaged. What I put together here, and this is just really tentative, it's early on, but basically every property that was highlighted here, they were able to attend the meeting. We have had a couple of additional property owners that were initially not found to be substantially damaged that have submitted documentation that actually would indicate that they were substantially damaged. And so At this point, Dave Fawcett's actually contacting each one of these property owners this week, and he's going to try to establish something a little more definitive as to who is definitely interested in participating or not participating. One thing that has come up with this as well that never came up in 2011 is this Elizabeth Wyrock, the State Hazard Mitigation Officer with SEMA, with the State Emergency Management Agency. I've had a couple of property owners that have expressed interest in possibly elevating houses. Now, I don't know in a couple of these cases if it will be cost-effective or not cost-effective. I don't know if it's feasible. In one instance, it's a really large house. It's a three-story house, but he has been very interested in the possibility of elevating. SEMA's indicated that there is up to $175,000 available if the county chose to have a house elevated. Now, they've indicated that this could be a project where we sought to both demolish houses and elevate houses.
I thought the limit on that was $30,000.
Well, it is for, and it gets really confusing. The limit as far as their increased cost of compliance, their insurance money, is $30,000. But they're now indicating to me that up to $175,000 via grant funds could be applied toward elevating a house. The concern the staff has on that, though, is I think it's, unfortunately, if we do look at demolishing structures and potentially elevating structures, I think it's going to be an even more complex project, honestly. I didn't know if the commission wished to look at both demolishing and elevating structures, or I didn't know at this point the best approach on this. Now we've taken the approach that if they're going to participate in the flood buyout, that they're going to have to be substantially damaged, and I think as far as elevating, from my understanding, as long as the elevation would cost $175,000 or less, there wouldn't be a requirement for a benefit cost analysis. And so I think even if we were to include properties that weren't substantially damaged as far as elevating, I think as long as we could show that the structure could be elevated for $175,000 or less, we could actually include elevating structures as well. But I'm still learning on that side of things. We didn't deal with elevating any structures last time.
That was my next question. We've never elevated.
No.
We haven't. So, there's some down there that have been elevated, though.
There are. Basically, when they were constructed, they were elevated. But
I was thinking there was one that was raised, not at our expense, but at their own.
There
like
is
maybe in 2008 or 2009 or something.
And that's possible, too. I do know there's been one that's been elevated in the city limits of Branson, too.
Do you have any idea what it would cost to elevate?
I don't. And I think it's going to vary quite a bit depending on the size of the structure.
Size, yeah.
And I think that's materials. One of the concerns I have is I know there's one property owner specifically that he investigated elevating last time, and like I said, it may be feasible. I don't know, but he's got a three-story home, and I just tend to think that it may exceed this amount, but I don't know.
On your sheet you gave us, where it says interest, it says no, yes, yes. Is that interest in elevation, or is that interest in buyout? What does that column
mean? And so far,
what does that column mean? It just says interest.
Yeah, at this point, these are just strictly the ones that have expressed interest in a buyout.
Okay, in a buyout, not in the raising of them. Okay.
Yes. And out of this list, I'm really aware of two that may be interested in potentially elevating. But then I've also had people with smaller amounts of damage that weren't on this list. They're contacting me, asking me if potentially we could apply on their behalf for elevating structures as well. In one instance, it's actually a resort off of Lakeshore Drive that has, I believe, 10 separate cabins. Three cabins were flood damaged. He's wanting, essentially, to see if it would be possible for us to apply for him to elevate the three cabins that had some level of water in them. But like I said, I know that if we go that route, it's going to complicate this considerably. And like I said, this was just never even brought up in 2011 as a potential option even.
Well, you're going to get paid for your time, aren't you? I'm not interested in trying to elevate houses if the county's out any money whatsoever on the process.
Well, the majority of this this time...
What's that organization that we voted to allow? Yeah,
that Southwest Missouri Council of Governments. They've really indicated that they have the ability to take the lead on this project. Taney County's, is a member of this Council of Governments, and the county actually, they've indicated that they would be willing to submit the notice of interest and the application at no cost, with the understanding that they would be the grant administrator or the project manager. And I've really indicated to Dave Fawcett that I would really need him to take the lead on this, that there's enough going on with our department outside of the flood buyout.
Have you talked to him about the raising of the structures, the elevation?
I have. He, being open with you, he's very concerned about the scope of the project if we were to include elevating structures. He's just concerned that the scope or the magnitude of this project's going to increase considerably. He is really requesting that we limit it to a flood buyout, but I wanted to see what the feeling was.
I think the people that are interested in it, though, need to be able to talk to us about it. So.
Yeah. So that's the primary thing that we've struggled with at this point.
But I got to understand what you're saying. They talked to us about it, but we just got through saying that the Council of Government, Ozark Council of Governments, would handle all of it. So wouldn't they talk to them, and then we would get our opinion from them whether it would be something that we'd be interested in? Is that the way that this would work? Because if I know the people on Lakeshore Drive have already, they're in business. They've already went in and attempted to repair and do, because they're renting rooms all the time. This elevation situation shuts them down for a period of time whenever they're trying to, right now, get back in business. Everything moves so slow in this FEMA stuff, and so they're trying to get back in business, and I talked to them this weekend, and so we go in and we decide we're going to elevate their buildings. I'm sure they're going to be shut down for a period of time.
It would be at their request, though.
Yes.
Right, but I understand that. But when we go to considering these things, that's the reason I would want this Ozark Council of Governments.
What'd you say his name was?
Fawcett.
Dave Fawcett.
Them to bring a recommendation to, well, Bob and Dave come in and tell us whether we want to participate in anything like that.
I was hopeful I'd have a little more concrete numbers at this point. I think I will by the end of this week. I know the meeting on Tuesday was really more informational, And so I didn't want to, and this is a completely, as you indicated, this is completely a voluntary program. And so I didn't want to in any way insinuate that, you know, that we wanted them to make an absolute decision. But I do know we'll have to at least get some kind of preliminary decision from them pretty quickly.
Yeah,
because
Brandon made a statement a while ago, and I was wondering, and you said that the elevating would be 30,000, and I heard 175,000.
My understanding was the cap on it was 30,000. That's through FEMA insurance.
Yes.
But for this, the quote unquote buyout, he's saying it's 175.
Yeah.
So
what,
it's different. What different monies.
And you're exactly correct. So what they've indicated to us now is if all of these folks had flood insurance, they could apply for up to $30,000 through their insurance to elevate. But the county can apply for these hazard mitigation grant program funds. The same grant that was used for the buyout last time, we can apply for those funds and they can be applied for up to $175,000.
Does that 75% take effect to that at all, or is it?
It does.
So
it does.
If it costs $100,000 to raise it, they're only going to get $75,000.
So exactly,
and then
through FEMA.
That's my other question. Was the
would their insurance CDB money kick in for that 30?
G grants, would they apply to this elevation deal versus the buyout on the other part of it? I'd say there's a lot of questions to be answered before we get that far.
But the homeowner might have to be out the 25% if CDBG won't pick it up.
Yeah.
But then the other question is does the FEMA insurance, $30,000, is that used up first, or is it $175,000, and then can you use your insurance towards the?
Now, my understanding is the insurance money could go toward their match.
Towards the 25% match.
Yeah, so it could go toward, because I know in the case of demolition, and this is one thing that we actually went through with the property owners, is worst case scenario on the flood buyout side, if there was a home that was bought out and they had flood insurance, we can actually utilize, and I do know this terminology, but they refer to it as increased cost of compliance or ICC funds. We could actually use up to $30,000 to go toward the cost, just specifically the cost of demolition. What I actually did for the property owners this time too is I actually broke out all the costs from last time, and so I took the total demolition costs, divided it by the 9 property owners, and did that for all the costs of appraisal, the costs of, you know, closing services, and basically the cost we came up last time per property owner for demolition, I believe it came out to about $13,500. And so the amount they would literally receive, from my understanding, is we would submit the bill. If it was $13,500, this insurance money would pay that amount, but it would pay up to $30,000. So if it costs, as long as it's less than $30,000, that's the thing I do need to find out too. If we did participate in the elevating, the thing I'm a little confused on right now is I know she's indicating that the project can cost up to $175,000. But my understanding would be exactly what you said, that they would pay for 75% of that. And my understanding would be further that they then could utilize these insurance funds for the 25% match for elevating as well.
Here's what I'd like to take place here, because we run chasing cats.
Exactly.
And what I'd like to do is have the information brought in by this Dave Fawcett and Bob, and as we talk to him, your questions that you're asking him are brought to us if we have a question on it. But if they're going to do it for us, then Bob, I want to limit the amount of time that you have to put in on it. I know last time it was very intense for the amount of work that you had to do. If they're going to do this for us, and last time you took on the load, even even with the other person that was supposed to be doing it for us, we'll let them bring the information to us, and then that way we can make a decision on it. Whereas now, there's too many questions. You ask him, he doesn't know, and then come back. So if, as you give us an update, and this is somewhat helpful, but we have two people out of the names on here that are interested.
Possibly
interested. So what I'm saying is if this Ozark Council of Governments is going to do this project for us, then let them bring the information forward. And I shouldn't say it maybe this way, but the least amount of work that you can do that they are doing,
yes,
the better off we are.
Yes, I agree. And early on, I met with Dave Fawcett for the first time on Wednesday, and that's exactly what I indicated to him, is that my hope would be that they could literally, as the project manager, take this project and run with it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
And really do all the legwork on this.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think we'll know a lot more definitive information this week. He's actually just taken the contact information, and he's planning to reach out to each individual property owner this week to see if they'll, if they are expressing an interest in participating. And we're going to try to come up, we've got to come up with a tentative dollar value for like the buyout. So we're going to have to, we're hopeful that people will provide us, I've had a few people provide us with appraisals, and then that way we've got a good idea of what the market value of the properties will be.
Sometimes, the reason I say that, sometimes we have individuals come to the county commissioners and they ask a question about this process, and when we try to direct an answer to them, their situation is overwhelming to them in the first place, and when we don't have the answers, they get mad at us.
Yes.
But as we sit through this meeting and we hear you talk and all the things that are unanswered questions, and you're way more updated on this than we are.
Yes.
So sometimes the aggravating circumstances of this whole thing overwhelms them, and they throw it on us when we really don't have anything to do with the actual,
yes,
project. So
I really feel like even at the end of this week, I should have a lot more definitive information. I think it's still just been soon enough after this meeting that really a lot of these folks were going to ponder it, and spouses were going to go home and talk about, how do we wish to proceed. Like I said, I just had those two just immediately after the meeting that were very definitive, that were 100% yes, we're not, this is what we're going to do, we don't want to build back. After these flooding events, we just never want to deal with this again. And so I've got two that I feel are definite yeses, that are definitive yes, we're going to complete this, but and I think I'm going to have more than that, but most everybody really kind of left saying they needed to talk it over and ponder everything.
Let me ask you this. If Ozark Council of Governments, Dave Fawcett is involved in this, and I don't know whether we have to go out for bid before we use his name as the supervisor or what, but anyway, before we get to that, do you think that the time frame is going to be shortened because of their participation in this? Because most people look at this, and as these individuals look at this, and they see that the last time it took 4 to 5, in some cases back earlier, 6 years to get anything done. Do you think that there's people fully understand whenever they're talking whether they want to say yes or no to this, that it's going to be that time frame?
I really do. We actually spent a lot of time at this meeting, and we really tried to be pretty detailed from the date of the flooding last time, and you're exactly correct. This was really just a really lengthy, tedious process. From the date of the flooding event until the date that we closed on all 9 properties last time, it was about a 3-year process. But you're correct. That's the thing that people don't see behind the scenes is we didn't actually close the FEMA grant until December of 2014, and we're just now closing out the CDBG grant. And so they received the funding within about a 3-year period last time, but you're exactly correct. It took 4 or 5 years to really close out the grants and to complete all the steps of the process. I've tried to indicate to them that I'm hopeful that something may happen more quickly. What we saw for the most part last time were delays primarily at the state and federal level, though. I felt like there was so much that was outside of our control. We did have some delays, unfortunately, in my opinion, based upon this consultant at the end, definitely, and especially in closing out the CDBG grant. But I think there's a high likelihood that it'll be a 2 or 3 year process again before people would receive funding. I'm hopeful that it'll be completed more quickly than that, but I just feel that because it's a program where we're working with the state and federal government, that unfortunately I think it'll be a 2 or 3 year process again before they would receive their funding.
So is your plan to come with Mr. Foster in the next week or two?
Yes, definitely. I feel like I can give you a much more extensive update at that point.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I need a 5-minute recess.